Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 45 degrees with light winds this morning and overcast skies. Today is Thursday, September 29th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Most Southeast Alaskans head to the polls next Tuesday, October 4th. In Sitka, we'll choose city and borough leaders and decide whether to raise property taxes to pay for municipal infrastructure needs. Voters in neighboring communities have their own taxation issues to vote on, everything from taxing plastic bags to dropping a senior citizen exemption for a tax on alcohol and cigarettes. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Elected officials and citizen petitions have placed more than a dozen measures on Southeast municipal ballots. One of the most controversial is in Juneau, where a local group put a 15-cent per plastic bag tax before voters. It would only affect customers at larger retailers, such as Fred Meyer and Walmart. Supporter Dixie Belcher says the goal is to encourage people to give up plastics and instead bring reusable bags.
They do that in many other parts of the world. Because of their impact on the ocean, they're banned in 25% of the world, and they're taxed in many other parts of the world. And generally, the taxation lowers the use of plastic bags by about 90% in the first 3 months.
The ballot measure faces strong opposition from many businesses and public officials. Resident Jerry Swanson thinks the proposal won't have the intended effect.
Personally, I own several reusable bags, and I always forget to bring them with me when I go shopping. I recycle those small shopping bags in my garbage in my bathrooms, and some I even take to the recycle center. So I think 15 cents is just a silly idea for the city.
Juneau has four other ballot measures. One would continue a temporary 3% sales tax that funds police, fire, and ambulance services, as well as road, water, and sewer repairs. Another would pay for an energy-efficient ground-source heat pump at an elementary school. Yet another would replace artificial turf at a local ball field. One more would pull Juneau out of state-mandated campaign disclosure rules and replace them with its own. Mayor Bruce Botello says changes made a few years ago have scared off potential candidates. That's because they require too much information on earnings.
The 2007 amendments required not only the disclosure of the source of all income in excess of $1,000, it does require you to state the amount.
He says Juneau's proposed rules only require the income source be reported. Critics say the current system works and keeps candidates honest. Many other communities have already pulled out of state requirements in favor of their own. Ketchikan voters face three measures in the October 4th election. The city ballot has a bond issue providing $15 million for the Whitman Lake hydropower project. The state already has chipped in $11 million, and the ballot measure would bring the total near what's needed. Mayor Lou Williams says it's an important part of keeping the price of electricity low.
Right now, you know, we pay 9.5 cents a kilowatt, and it's really helped our growth down here, and especially in some industries, and then we're also have a line at home switch over to hydro, so it's so much cheaper in the fuel right now. So we're just pushing to get every little project we can, and Whitman's on the board, it's ready to go.
Another city ballot measure would change the candidate filing period to match that of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. The borough ballot has one measure asking whether assembly members should continue to be elected at large rather than by district. Ketchikan has both a city and a borough government. Petersburg voters face three measures. One would sell $1.5 million of bonds to fund a new library. Another would allow the city council to declare up to two sales tax-free days each year. A third would repeal a sales tax exemption on the sale of alcohol and tobacco to seniors. Mayor Al Dwyer says passing the measure would lessen impacts on government services.
Alcohol and tobacco are very expensive for the municipalities and the states and the federal government to deal with. Medically.
But some worry the measure will lead to removing other senior exemptions. Councillor Dan Hickman says it should stay in place.
My argument from the get-go was, by the time you get to 65, if you want to continue killing yourself, you earn the right.
Sitka has one ballot measure that would raise the property tax limit from 6 to 6.5 mils. The increased revenues would be used to fund improvements to municipal infrastructure, such as the hospital and its maintenance. Haines has two ballot propositions. They ask voters to recall a pair of assembly members. Backers claim they violated borough law by failing to appoint a new assembly member to an open seat. Wrangell and Skagway have no measures on this year's municipal ballot. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Visit our website, kcaw.org, for more information about Southeast community ballots. Follow the links posted with this report. The Alaska Mental Health Trust is changing its approach to a major land exchange with the federal government. A legislative proposal to swap 20,000 acres of its property in southeast towns for federal lands it could log or develop has made little headway in an increasingly gridlocked Congress. So the agency plans to propose an administrative exchange, which could be approved by the Forest Service instead. Matt Lichtenstein reports.
The idea of a land exchange was originally prompted by public objections over a late 2005 plan to log Mental Health Trust property on the steep hillsides along Mitkoff Highway in Petersburg. Highway residents have long argued that logging there would further destabilize already landslide-prone slopes above their homes and businesses. Keeping that from happening has been a frustrating six-year struggle for Ed Wood and fellow members of the Mitkoff Highway Homeowners Association. Wood and other homeowners' safety concerns were punctuated by this year's late September landslide that dumped a 12-foot-high pile of rocks, mud, and tree trunks across both lanes of the highway. It's one of several slides that have occurred in the area, and Wood said it could have been worse.
Along with today's slide at 6.2 mile, I heard dozens of trees blowing down all across the upper slopes, especially on the Twin Creek shoulder. I think if the TLO had helicopter logged as it had originally planned to do in 2006, there wouldn't be anything left standing today, and we'd have even more slides. It's pretty obvious that it's in our community's best interest that the slopes on this hillside be left alone. I think it's time that the TLO traded these parcels to the Forest Service, if it'll still take them, and moves on.
It's been about 4 years since trust officials said they'd consider a land exchange as an alternative to logging or selling trust property on Mitkoff Highway and other sensitive areas and communities around Southeast. The idea was to resolve conflicts with adjacent property owners while also meeting the trust's mission to generate income for mental health services in Alaska. In early 2010, the trust proposed a legislative land exchange, one that would have to be approved by Congress. It involved trading 20,000 acres of Southeast trust lands for roughly 50,000 acres of Forest Service property that the trust would be able to manage for logging. That proposal's not gotten very far. Now, trust resource manager Paul Slenkamp says the agency is revising its plan to try for an administrative exchange as well, one that it will negotiate with Forest Service officials.
This is going to be a very negotiated type agreement, and we're pretty cautiously optimistic of moving forward with this. We're still looking at the legislative method, and we're actually open to resolving this situation. I mean, not only in Petersburg, but throughout Southeastern. I mean, the trust is a major landowner in almost every community of Southeastern.
Slenkamp says the trust is hoping to move forward and meet with the Forest Service again within the next month. Tonga Supervisor Forrest Cole says the two agencies have had several informal discussions about an administrative exchange. The trust laid out specific parcels to trade, including most of the Mitkoff Highway property, in its earlier legislative proposal. But according to Cole, the Forest Service did not consider that an equal value exchange. Cole says an administrative exchange would have to be equal value.
What the issue was last time was, because it was not a equal value land exchange, it got wrapped in with landless natives' interests and Sea Alaska's interests and a host of others, and at that point in time there wasn't much traction in terms of new legislation. So going through the equal value exchange administratively, the process would be the rangers go through, pick out what they feel is in the public interest. We would go through an appraisal process and basically start running it up to the regional forester, then the Washington office.
Whatever the proposal, the administrative process would still require a lengthy environmental and public review under the National Environmental Policy Act. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
The Tlingit and Haida Central Council hopes to get federal funds to plan Southeast Alaska's future. The council is applying for a $1.4 million grant from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to form a regional consortium aimed at developing a 20-year plan for the region. Details will come if the grant is approved. But Tlingit and Haida Business and Economic Development Manager Carrie Sykes says the plan could address a number of regional issues.
There are needs for housing. There are needs for transportation. And, of course, we know that affordable energy is a definite need in our region. But basically, the way this HUD funding works is they want you to get buy-in from the community and have, you know, a lot of input at the grassroots level.
Sykes says Southeast Conference and the Juneau Economic Development Council have offered to partner with Tlingit and Haida on the plan. The Juneau Assembly on Monday night adopted a resolution of support for the grant application and agreed to take part in the regional consortium. Sykes says other communities, as well as tribes, businesses, and nonprofits, will also be asked to participate.
I've been trying to pull in as many partners as we can find who have different types of interests in the region.
HUD invited the Central Council to submit the full grant application earlier this month after reviewing a pre-application in August. If the agency approves a grant to the council, Sykes says it will take 3 years for the plan to be developed. That's going to do it for news for this hour. In the zone weather forecast for Sitka and Port Alexander today, expect rain, highs around 49, east winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, rain, lows around 41, northeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, shifting to the northwest late. Friday, rain likely, highs around 50, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And looking ahead to the weekend, Saturday, cloudy, chance of rain, highs around 53. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.